Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. The only place to stand securely. Amen. Amen. Before I'm going to turn this over to Brother Mike. He is going to be bringing the message. But I have one thing to say. I saw a burlap bag. Everybody know what that is? A burlap bag. Someone is in it, and every time you start to run, you stumble. Okay, who is that? Every time you start to run, you stumble. You feel like you can't make progress. I just want you to stand up. It's not you're in a physical burlap bag. The burlap bag just means a man-woven thing that comes from the earth. Amen. So raise your hand at me. Every time you feel like you start to run for God, you start to do something for God, you stumble. Okay, go ahead and stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, you see all of these that are standing now, that when they feel momentum and they have the excitement to run forward, that their feet get tangled up inside this earthbound thing. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you by your Spirit to remove the seams that was sewn in this bag. Remove the seams so that the next step that they take, they would be free from any entanglement, free from any man-made thing. So, Father, I pray that you would just clear their minds of this thought that they won't be able to get anywhere. And Father, I pray that you would inspire their minds, inspire their spirit, inspire their soul this moment, this very moment, that they're free to run. 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 All right, those of you that stand it, you make that declaration. I'm free to run. Say it loud. Say it again. I'm free to run. Amen. You may be seated and welcome Brother Mike Duncan.
Praise God. Amen. Don't you love how, I tell you, God just line things up. He'll line it up. Sometimes you don't have a clue. Most time you don't, but it's okay. I don't anyway. But then he'll start revealing things, and he'll start lining things up, and then things start getting clearer and clearer. Remember the old song, I can see clearly now since the rain is gone. Whoa, whoa. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day. So that reminds me back to what Pastor said there in Proverbs 4 over there, said that the wicked is in the darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. See, but for us, for the righteous, it says it gets brighter and brighter to the perfect day or to the noonday, to the height of the sunshine. So it lights up our way and our path. Pastor called me and was like, hey, you want to speak Thursday? I said, whoa, hey, yeah. Oh, no, Sunday. He called me Thursday. I asked him to speak on Sunday. Sorry to get you on a short notice again, brother. It's okay.
I can get shorter.
I know. But you know, but what I told him, I said, it's okay, brother. He said, I always do the work of evangelists in season or out of season, whatever it is. I said, hey, he said, drop the hat. We're ready to go. And I'll drop the hat. But that's just who we are. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Being able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so that's who we are. So that's kind of like where it went. And I'm going to springboard I'm not going to take away from what Terry didn't finish. I'm going to springboard off of what Terry was, because I believe this really, 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 really is a timely word and very important. And it has been for some time. It's so long of a time that it's been very necessary in such a timely word that the word had to really come and reveal himself in the name of Jesus Christ so that you would know who you are.
Amen.
Our identity. Who are you? You know, there was another song in on the Who. Who are you? I really want to know. You know, and I'm not going to go into all that song because I think there's some bad stuff in that song somewhere down in there. Foul language that pop out. But we want to know who are you? Who are you? So our identity and who we come from. And that's what, let's go to Ephesians 1 again where Terry was. And I just, there was, man, I tell you, if you weren't getting downloads from that, you need to start understanding who you are so you can hear the Father and the Holy Spirit and when he starts speaking to you. Because it says in the word that my sheep will hear my voice. We will hear him. And if we're not hearing him, then we really need to block some other things out. We need to make room for him. Make room for him so he'll be closer to you. I was in prayer this morning, and I was like, man, it was just such a whirlwind, you know? And it's like in our times of where we are right now, it's like a whirlwind. Things are moving so fast and just whipping around. And I was like, Lord, it's really been sort of chaotic. My wife and I was talking about, you know, for 8 years now going on, just how our life has just been, whoa, like a whirlwind. You know, kids and just, well, I would say life, you know, but I don't get caught up in because life is Christ. Life is Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So don't get it twisted. Don't get it tangled up with this crazy stuff, because it says in Proverbs that said, I've called out to you, but you wouldn't hear my call. You wouldn't sit at my teachings and all these things. He says, so now a whirlwind's coming. That's what it says. You'll read that? We can break that down. Proverbs 1, it's right there at the top. Sort of. Before you get to Proverbs 2, it says that. But anyway, at the top of that page, okay. But it says he's going to send that whirlwind. And then it said, then you will call out for him. Then you would try to hearken unto the Lord. But he said, he said, you mock me. He said, then when you call out me, I'm going to mock you. Not going to hear you. Is that a place you want to be? But I'm telling you, the times are coming, and they now have came. But it's only going to, the whirlwind's only going to get stronger. And it's only going to get bigger and wider. You know how the hurricanes, you know, the whirlwind, you watch them when they first name them, they coming off the coast of Africa toward us, you know, and sometimes they'll be kind of large, sometimes kind of small, but as they gain momentum and speed and they get closer and they become a category 3, 4, 5, and hit the warm waters and get stirred up more, and they got a name for them. So it's very important, those names. But you see, it gets bigger and bigger as it gets closer to impact time. So what are we going to do? Buy a bunch of plywood? You know, try to board up, save our houses? Right? Save the things that we think that needs to be saved? Or are we really going to get to where we save our own souls? You know, are we willing to do what it takes to be ready for the impact? But as I was laying in the floor this morning, and I hear the whirlwind and all these things, and all of a sudden it was just like, whew. There wasn't a whirlwind. There wasn't chaos. You know what? There was peace. You know why? What's in the eye of the storm? Yeah, his calmness. Well, who's the I? Who? What do we? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God in the center of it all. He's right there, and there's stability. There's peace. We can do whatever we need to do, no matter what the winds are doing around us. We can still fulfill the calling and the mission that He has given us. And we will do that. We will do that because we are believers. Who are you? Number one, I'll just say, if you're a believer, what you going to do, claim it? Please do. Put a stake in it. Stand there. Remember when they was giving land away back in America? No, I don't remember that. But I believe they said they did that. People got a fast horse. They said, go. And boy, they took off. What was the name of that movie? It was Tom Cruise movie. I love that movie. It's a good movie. They take off, and who was going to put a stake in the ground of where you was going to build your home? You was going to build your life. Does that make sense? What are we willing, and where are we willing to put our stake down at and stand? Because the word says those who stand will save their souls. So who are you? And so Terry opened that up last week when Paul opened up that first sentence, right? Paul. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So right there you have two things that are very important. Number one is a name, a Paul. What is a name? What does name stand for? Let's get this out. I got some notes this time. Normally I just like do it, but you know, I said, let's do what you want to do, Lord. So anyway, let me put it on this side. So a name. I go to Webster's too. I wrote some of it down, but it says right here, a name from Webster. He says it's a word or a phrase, because some people might have a big name. You know, it's a word or a phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or a thing. It's a distinctive word or phrase that distinguishes. Okay, so let's leave, what's B? That was A. A word or symbol used in logic to designate an entity. Okay, a descriptive, often disparaging epithet called him his name. But look where it says a reputation can come from a name. An illustrious record, fame, made a name for himself. A person or thing with a reputation. A family, a clan. One referred to by a name. In the name of, by authority of. For the reason of. You see what I'm saying? To mention or identify by name, to nominate, to decide, to mention. All these things is in a name. So we know that Paul is a new name. He used to be identified and known as Saul. But God gave him a new name. That people really didn't know who he was, but yet they still identified him. No, you're not Paul, you're Saul. Oh, you're the one who did this. And they was terrified of the man. So sometimes I think what we do in that name, which brings what? Identity. Jesus said over, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your love and the life. And your Holy Spirit and the love. I tell you, the beauty of your body that's working and on display here today, it's amazing. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you just release what you want to release here, Lord, that you touch who you want to touch here today, Lord God. It's not me. It's not anybody here, but it's you that operates and functions inside of each and every one of us that allows us to be who we are because you have given each and every one of us a new name. A new name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we say in Jesus' name? Yeah. What would I just say? It distinguishes, right? The authority, who he is. He's given us in Ephesians 3 over there, it says that he's given the family name. He's given us a family name because what did it say? A clan or family. The name of Jesus given to us. What does it say in Acts 4? A name given to all mankind in which they must be saved. Hallelujah. And no man can be saved other than what? By that name. Him. Who he is. The identity of Jesus Christ. God who was once invisible and unknown. Remember Paul walking through Greece? He said, oh, I see that they were spiritually moved. I see that they had a touch. He said, before they had gods and statues everywhere. He said, but then I found one that had no name on it. It said the unknown God. He set up camp right there. He said, let me tell you who the unknown God is. He started telling about Jesus Christ. So we need to know who that is. So in that name, you have your identity. And that's what Terry was hitting on last week, and which was so important, because we must know who we are. We must have and know our identity. I know I can't be moving too much. People at home, I'm trying to stay still. Look at all this. But see, what is it? The identity is a distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Don't you know that we're one? We're one individual in Christ. We're parts of the individual of Jesus Christ. His beautiful body that was on display. And I tell you, I wasn't going to cry today. I said, man, this the songs and everything. Well, we're in an encouraging word today. And my goodness, if I didn't start crying when everybody started moving and spirit started moving over, that's like, okay, which way are we going today? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be I didn't bring any tissues with me. But even that's okay, you know? We all have a part to play. But the key is, do you know your name? Do you know his name? Do you know who you are? Do you know your identity? And that's what everything is derived from, because through that identity, see what that next word was over there? I am Paul, an apostle. Apostle means one who is sent. Why would God send somebody? Because he is an ambassador, a reflection, or an identity of who he is. There's a lot of people who want to put that word and title on their name, and they better be careful. And I think that not just all of us, I mean, we just say Christian, which is the same thing, you know, as like Christ. I'm a Christian. But what are you? How do you handle your business? Is it the Father's business? Because as soon as you release that, my goodness, they're coming after you, and they're trying to pick you apart to see, are you really? And so that breaks down. So what you're doing, if you're not moving in what Christ... Look, I know we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that's not pleasing to the Father, okay? That's what I'm talking about. But are we conducting and handling ourselves? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to check us without saying things that we shouldn't say, doing things that we shouldn't do? And even when it does, will it come back to us if we go and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness to these people? It's the character, the name of Jesus Christ in which he's given us. Let's look at what happened to Jesus. One thing that we must know, let's look at Mark 1:1. Isn't that something? 1:1:1? Mark 1:11. Let's look at that right quick. And see, this is this rhema, the voice of God that spoke to us. It spoke to everybody there. And when Jesus rose up from doing his baptism, what happened? It says right here. It says in 1:1, we're going right there. It is a little right there. Then a voice came from heaven What did that voice tell him? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What happened right there? Identity's right there. Who was he? What kind of son? A beloved son. A beloved son. He is loved. I love you. This is my son who I love. And what? What else? Did he leave it there? No. He encouraged him. Do you know that your identity today in the natural comes from your father? Why do you think that the attack is on so many dads and tearing families around so those kids won't know who they are because they don't know who their father is? And it's up to the daddies to follow Christ, to receive that identity so that he can give that identity to his children. This is who we are, son or daughter. You are pleasing to me because you are of me. And there's nothing you can do to do that. Now I'm telling you, there's some things that you might be hurt about, or there's things that you might be displeased with. But because that's not acting in your character or your nature, that's why you would be displeased. But did we get pleased? Is he pleased with Jesus? Yes, he's with Jesus. He's pleased with Jesus. He will always be pleased with Jesus because Jesus said what? I always do what I see the Father do. I always say what I hear the Father say. Is the Father in his life? Is he there? The daddy is there. The son is there. They're functioning and acting as the character and identity of the family ought to. It's very important because I'm telling you, in these times, in this whirlwind, there's all kind of voices. There's all kind of things just trying to change you and to make you think that you are something that you're not. And I'm telling you, once you're dad and once things are moved in your life, the enemy comes in like a whirlwind and he's working inside of you and you grow up to be who the world has made you, not what life has really made you. And now we say, well, that was life. No, that's not life, man. That's the enemy trying to pervert what life is, to try to take you away from your identity and replace it with something false, a lie. Jesus told the Pharisees over there, oh, we not slaves. We got Abraham. He said, I'm telling you what, Abraham, he's going to raise rocks up. But he said, look, this is not what it is. Abraham can't save you. He said, you are enslaved. We ain't enslaved. Yes, you are. Whoever sins slave is in slavery. He said, you would trust me and believe in me, but you don't because what? Your father is not my father. Your father is the father of lies. If he wasn't, you would accept me. So we get distorted and we've changed. What it is in Romans, and Paul wrote, hey, they exchanged the truth for a lie and started worshiping things that were created instead of worshiping the Creator. And here we go running right with this thing, you know? And if you don't think somebody's watching, let me tell you, I wish I could plug this thing in what I videoed a while ago. And I'm going to tell you, I videoed you, okay? If you got a phone, I'll send it to you. But it was so precious. When you started worshiping God and lift your hand, that little baby girl lifted her hand. Let me tell you something right here. If you don't think eyes are upon you, you have been deceived. The truth is that those blessings of those babies or exactly a blessing. And it says it is an honor. A child's child is an honor to the granddaddy. Glory unto him. Because that's what you get to see. You know how many don't get to see it? My goodness, that's one of the fears that I have, man, that I try to fight. I won't get to see grandbabies. I said, no, I won't see him. Please, let me see. Here I go, man. You used to not really care, you know, because I know they're his. And it's okay. It's going to be taken. But let me, I want to see the evidence of your glory. The fruit. Because I'm telling you, you're going to have fruit. If you believe and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are part of his family, he says, hey, if you are part of me and you remain in me, you will bear fruit. You will, but apart from me, you'll bear nothing. And that's all in our identity. Who do you say you are? I'm telling you, and all our identity and everything that is true is trying to be perverted and twisted and changed and taken away, canceled. And you're going to have to be able to stand in that whirlwind. And you're going to have to find the eye of that storm. And you're going to have to know that you know who you are. Because if you would keep reading right here, when Jesus was what? He said he was driven as soon as his identity was made and proclaimed. He was driven to the wilderness and tested. Are you who you say you are? Or are you who he says you are? And so here comes the enemy. What does he do? The first thing he said, if you be the Son of God. Notice that what we just said a while ago, that when we said that who you are, was in the wilderness, and we said that who did he say he was? He said he was the Son. Even we left off that one part, didn't we? Loved. Beloved. See, the enemy can't tell you you're loved. You know why? That's adding to. He's telling, he's confirming who you are. A beloved vessel, a beloved child of God. Let's talk about that vessel part. Because we want to look up. You know, I didn't want to wear white this morning. This thing had a stain on it, and my mother-in-law worked magic on this thing. She cleansed it. I don't want to be up here like a whitewashed sepulcher. You know, we can look white on the outside, clean, just, but I tell you, any bit of dirt's going to show up even more. That's why Jesus said it's not for what's really on the outside, it's for what's on the inside. And what comes out of that vessel that makes them who they are. Y'all want to go to the potter's house? Let's go to Potter's house, man. I love Jeremiah, and I love Jeremiah 18 down there. Let's just go to it right quick, because we need to understand something here. We got a little time here. Let's jump it out and walk it out. Take two steps. Walk it out, Billy. You got to take steps, don't you? We got to stand, but we also got to take steps. I talked to Shane. He said, I'm hanging in there this morning. I said, well, you climbing every chance you get? We got to make progress, which means we need to grow. Because when you're a baby, you're not fulfilled yet, are you? You got to grow. We have to grow as a body of Christ right here. We must grow and grow together. He was talking about, throw rocks when he first got married. I was ready to throw a handful of them this morning. And it's just funny, you know. I don't know if you ever faced that stuff, you know. Lee's talking about, I'm going to pay for this word, you know, through the week. Sometimes we pay for it before we even speak it. Huh? And I think, hey, I'm just going to go up and tell him I can't do it today. We're going to have to get somebody else up here. We're going to fold? Let the enemy win? Are we going to repent? Are we going to change the way we think? Are we going to say, you know what? No. Honey, I need forgiveness. I have the power to make this the center of the storm, because who resides in me? I refuse to let this whirlwind blow me out the door. We're going to do this thing, and I'm not giving him room. I'm not letting the old man have room. A lot of times we're going to blame something else. And they say, well, come on, man. You're resurrecting the power of the wrong thing. It's a true story. It's a true story. So down at the potter's house, the Lord came to him and said, hey, go down to the potter's house. It's beautiful. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will what? Cause you to hear my words. Hallelujah. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Yet the vessel that he made of clay was spoiled. King James, I think, used the word marred. I like that word, marred. It had been marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make of it. Okay? It's huge, isn't it? I think in Isaiah 29, he talks about that you worship me with your lips, but your heart's far away. For you worship me with the teachings of man instead of the teachings of God, the truth. How can the clay tell the potter what to make of it? See, you're going to tell me who I am. You. And what I'm going to become. And then I'm going to believe that. And then I'm going to go about my way, and then what's going to happen to me and my family? See, my dad used to tell me, boy, you will never amount to anything. You're going to be in the penitentiary before you're 30 years old. Well, he was close. But God. But God. I was knocking on the door. Angola, here I was coming. But you know what? But God. It's not who he says you are. It's who I say you are. Amen. And what I'm going to make of you and what I've reached down in that miry clay and started forming you to be. You might have thought you was marred up, but I still know what was about to happen. I'm still going to turn you into what I'm going to make of you. I'm still going to get it. Listen to this thing. The name. How my name changed. March the 20th, 2010, my name changed. He gave me a new name. Though Mike and Michael might not have changed, but who he is, his name, his character, his spirit was poured inside of me. And it changed me. Therefore, I no longer walked around as who I thought I was. I displayed and walked around who he says he was because I took my hands off of it. You know what I said? I said, Lord, if I have to be a homeless man on the street, whatever I'm going to be, you're going to make me. No matter what it's going to be what you're going to make me. And guess what I ended up being? There was a time I was a homeless man on the street. But I was his homeless man on the street. I was in his name no matter what people looked at me. I didn't care. I really did not care. My whole family, what are you doing? I don't care. I got to find out if he's the truth or not. And if I don't just allow him to put me on that wheel and to form me and to make me, how am I going to be what I'm supposed to be? I'm tired of getting marred up. I'm tired of being spoiled. I'm tired of being who you say I am. I'm going to be who he says I am. Because there's a voice of God come to me on that day. He told me that I would walk this earth for him. And he would meet my every need. So you see what he did for me? See, with your identity will come a purpose. From your identity will give you a purpose. And through that purpose will give you a goal. It'll give you something that you can achieve. And through those achievements brings joy. It brings the abundant life of God. Because you are doing what he's said for you to do. You are moving in his identity, your identity. Everything is starting to become fulfilled. But if we hesitate and we back up, is it okay? Yes, it's okay. You're going to run into these things. But you know what? You still got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going forward. You got to persevere. No matter what, will the voices still come? Yes, they're still going to come because you have yet to arrive. I told the Lord, I said, my goodness, Lord, I'm tired of fighting all this stuff. When's this going to happen? He said, when everything's fulfilled. See, the identity crisis in the 60s and the 70s, we ended up having a big movement of Jesus. They called it the Jesus movement. Because people were looking to find themselves, man. I got to find out what I'm here for. I'm going over there to see if I'm supposed to be over there, man. What am I going to do? But you know what? Did God come in that? Seek and you'll find. Ask, he'll be given. See, I know sit in the jail. I go to jails and talk to them, and some of them come in there. I know why they come in there. I went in the same way when I was there. I wanted just to get out the cell. I just wanted to get over there and hey, it's free time. Hey, free time. Who the Son set free is free indeed. But see, God knew their intentions. Maybe they want to come in there for freedom, free time. Get out the cell, that's fine. They didn't want to hear the preaching. They wasn't here to come and see Christ. They could care less about that. All I know is I'm getting out. Even for a few minutes, whatever it was, however long that person's going to speak in there, I'm going to go in there. But you know what? God moved on them. He'll use what the enemy wants to do, to hurt you and to move you wrong. He's going to use that because in your intentions, what you think you want to do, he's going to get you there. He's going to use that to get you to where it is so he can pour his spirit down in you. And that's how he does things. And he's still there. And I'm telling you, look what it says down there in so this vessel. So look what it says in Mark 2:22. Let's go there. I like these numbers that popped up. Mark 1:1, Mark 2:2, Ephesians 1:1. See, there's so much in this thing. See, we are a vessel of him, but we're not really actually in truth. We are not the vessel, okay? Right now on this walk of life, we are the vessel. But we don't get our identity from the vessel. Does that make sense? Let's look at 2:2:2. And so this is what happens when God comes and he changes you. I'm in Matthew. Let me get to Mark right quick. So he changes you. Look over here. It says in 2:2:2, it says, and no one pours new wine. Look here. They're quick. We love our team up there in the booth. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wineskins will burst. Right? The wineskins, the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wineskins must be put into new wineskins. That's how the new wine is, the new wine. Jesus Christ, he's the wine, man. It's what he said, this is the blood, this is the spirit of who he is. He's looking for some new vessels. He's looking for that new. I can't put this, what I have, in that old one, because you already been wore out and stretched and used for the wrong things. But what I'm going to do is make you a new creation. And I'm going to pour this new stuff in you. And you're going to be a new being. Amen. New being. The old is gone and the new has come. Now look what the world would do sometimes. Remember back in Daniel? Y'all probably know them little Hebrew boys as Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Have y'all ever heard of them boys? Yeah, they were actually youth. Even my old Bible that I had as a kid had Daniel. He's like an old man in the lion's den. But it said over there, the youth. But you know, we know them as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But you know, that's not their name. That's a name that the world gave them. See, you might have that name on you already, and you got this destiny that God's already created for, and you wouldn't be here if it wasn't so. But then the world, or the traumas, or the hurts, and the pains, and the whirlwinds, and the things of the enemy of this world has whipped around because he knew the destiny that God's got, because he ain't whispering what he's saying over there. He's telling you, this is my son whom I'm well pleased, so the enemy's coming just like he come to Jesus. But he ain't going to tell you that you love. He's not going to tell you who you really are. He's going to tell you if you be, and if there's a question or a doubt, he's going to influence you and take you the wrong direction. See, the world will take you and change and flip your name and give you another name. And you're going to walk your walk and believe that's who you are. Until hopefully, in Jesus' name, that you will have another encounter with a beloved child, a vessel of God, that they're going to show you and pour out the Spirit of God upon you. And you're going to say, whoa, what are you doing? And now the darkness is going to leave and the light, that's what's been making me stumble. That's not who I am. Yes, that's exactly right. That's not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You are a beloved child of the Most High King. That's who you are. And I'm telling you, in these times and these days are coming, they're trying to give you the wrong name. Let me tell you who the name was. Daniel Belteshazzar. Oh, that's who they tried to call him. But you know, it's kind of funny. As you go through there, Daniel held his name. Daniel held his name. But you know who lost their name? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. See, I refuse. This was a little while back. You know, I'm like, man, I seen a little thing and had their name. I said, that's their real names. I refuse to call them by the worldly name. If I'm going to refer to them, let me be as a child of God to be smart enough to understand the schemes of the enemy and not be ignorant to call somebody by the wrong name. Lord impressed on me years ago about, you know, the humility that it takes to remember somebody's name. If somebody can remember your name and then call you by name, and you might have just run into them once or twice, you know what that gives you when you hear them call you? Because, I mean, I know in school it was the same thing. I didn't think nobody remembered who I was and my name. But when I heard somebody say, hey, Mike or Michael, oh, how did you know my name? I remembered it. I remembered you. What the joy. You know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good that somebody knew or thought enough of you just to know your name. Sort of feel like old Doc Holliday. Well, that's my friend. Shoot, Doc, I got lots of friends. I don't. Because that's a friend. It says a friend loves at all times. He'll get you some adversity, won't he? But that's going to make you stronger to walk in these things. So let me get to this point. We can get more marred up. We can get spoiled. We can get busted. And it's who we are in our identity and our purpose. Listen, our main purpose is to hold the Spirit of God. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose is so that he manifests so much in us that somebody will see him and believe. That's our purpose. That's the will of God for us. See, the love and the enjoyment and the abundant life is just part of the kingdom and its benefits. But the purpose is for him to pour his Spirit in you and so that other people can see that, even in the storms, even when it's a sunny, or not a sunny day, but a rainy day that the rain is gone. My goodness, they can see clearly now who that is. Let me tell you who this is. What you call this right here? What would you call that? Just by me placing that cup right there. Coffee cup. Yeah. We own it, aren't we? Coffee cup. What you going to call it now? Ooh, what'd you say? It's a coffee cup, right? Y'all just called and labeled this thing a coffee cup. We can repent anytime now. Because my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, God has emptied out what was in there. And he's gave you a water cup now. He's gave you a new name. It's not what it is. Look, I can put coffee in there and you're going to call it a coffee bottle. Let me tell you what you're going to do.
Let me tell you what the truth is, though. Whatever's inside there is what's going to give you your identity. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit unto you and make these things that you don't know known to you. My thoughts, my aspirations, my kingdom, my everything. I want to pour it all out on you. He said, lavish him with the love. Sometimes we want to still go back and be called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to tell you, I had a dream in closing. I didn't know where I was going to go. I'm just going to go ahead. Can I do this right quick? I had a dream one time. And I don't get a lot of dreams. I really don't. But this dream was so real. I was sitting in like a youth group. And this everybody's talking about who they are and things like that. And are just things, you know. And this little girl piped up. And she said, I'm gay. I said, whoa. And so, you know, basically like, well, what you going to do about that? And I'm sitting there like, So in the dream, I start praying. Lord, how am I going to receive this, Lord? How am I going to minister to this? What am I going to say to this young lady? Okay? And the Lord spoke to me in the prayer, in the dream. I know it's blah, blah, blah. I said, wow, that's crazy. He said, well, you used to call yourself a pothead. I did. I'm proud of it. Pride is an abomination to God. But you see, I turned around and looked at that little girl just as soon as the Lord dropped that in my spirit. And here I am dreaming. I'm just not real, but it's kind of real. He is real. Hallelujah. We are too. But I said, hey, I used to call myself a pothead too. And you know, that little girl just broke. Just started weeping. Weeping. I didn't have to say anything else. Just what God gave me to give to her, let her understand that's not who you are. That's not your identity. That's not your purpose. This is not what you have become. Things that the world has transformed you when you've taken the lie and you went a wrong direction. But it's okay. Let me show you the way of truth and life. And the girl received Christ right then and there in a dream. Years later, you know, my niece didn't come to me, but come to my wife, telling her the same thing. Okay, we got an identity problem. And the only way we're going to be able to change it is have the Lord put his spirit in there. The revelation of who he is. That's what he's going to build the kingdom on. Who do you say he is? And that's going to give you your identity. And that's going to give you your marching orders and your purpose. Inner healing ministry, healing room ministries. These things that we provide as a body right here, and we're going to start doing. There's things that's down inside of you that you haven't dealt with. And there's things that you believe that's worse. Hey, this is what happened to me. You know why we don't change a lot of time? It's because we can't see us changed. We think that's who we are. We received the wrong name. But I'm here to tell you, you're no longer, hallelujah, Belteshazzar. You're no longer Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Your name is Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. Let me get you back to your real name. Let me get you back to your real purpose in life. Let me get you there so you can get there and so that God can use you anywhere and everywhere. We got to get equipped right now as a body. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's time to get back to the name of who you really are, the identity, the character, what distinguishes you from the rest of this world. They can't cancel him. They've tried it. They cannot cancel Jesus Christ. They've tried it.
They cannot counsel you because we do not shrink from death. They cannot wipe our name out of the book of life because they don't have the pen. They don't have the goods. They don't have the power. It's, we do. We do. We can control the atmosphere. We must know our identity as we move forward because it's coming. It's already here. But it's getting bigger and the time is getting closer and things are happening so fast at a warped speed that it's hard to fill up and it's hard to back up. That we don't back up, but we can fill up. And allow the Lord to pour us in and pour us out to where we go. I wanted to go to Timothy over there about the vessels, and Pastor was hitting all over it. Man, I've been. Be the vessel of honor in the king's house. There's many vessels, some of wood, some of clay, some of gold, and some of silver. But the ones that are used, that the master grabs a hold of a lot, are the gold and silver ones, right? That he uses his people. So it says, Paul goes on and says, so cleanse yourself of the latter things, those hurts, those lies, those things that the world tries to tell you who you are. Let's cleanse ourselves with those so we can be the vessels of noble purposes. So that we're the pitcher that God fills the tea glass up with. You know, our hand, his hand's always on our lives. And he's always using us, serving and helping and replenishing the people who thirst. They're thirsty out there. Let's make them thirstier by being the salt. But then, just don't leave them there, right? Let's relinquish that thirst by allowing the living water to pour out upon them where they'll thirst no more. Okay? If you're ready for a name change, today's your day. Today's your day. The time is now. Don't go out back in that world and think that you can still handle the situations as you did before. Because now there's no excuse. That's why the gospel came. There's no more excuse anymore. It's been revealed. It's been known. And that's why we have no excuse either to become the vessels of him, our identity, to fulfill the purpose that he's called us to be so that we can replenish and make way for the kingdom and his children. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that was an altar call. Nobody's moving. That's okay. Everybody's in the right character and mindset. That's fine. Just to make sure that's where you are. Make sure. And if there's any doubt, you got to get rid of it. And we're going to start doing the healing and the things that whatever you need, let's make room for him because there still might be something down deep that you think you've got rid of and it might try to rear up. But see, time will expose it. Light will eventually get down there. It says the spirit of man is like a candle unto the Lord, searching the most inner parts of his belly, of his body, of his soul. He's going to get in those little cracks and crevices that where something's trying to be stuck back because he wants to fill that space with his precious spirit. Amen? Amen. Thank you all. It's time. I always run over. I'm sorry, Pastor. Daggone. I don't know how it's going to come out. It's just going to come out. It might be a splatter. It might be a stream. It might be a geyser. Main thing is to get out. It's got to get out. We got to get out. All right. We're going to pray. If anyone wants special prayer or just talk, it's open. Okay? We're open. We're all here as a body to help carry one another and do the burdens of one another. Okay? We're here to do that. But we're also here to love and encourage to help fill those voids and those cracks and those hurts and those pains. There's a lot going on. All right. Y'all get up. Let's stand up. Let's go. Let's go. Y'all ready to go? Let's go. I believe there's some food somewhere waiting on somebody. I just ate, though. All right. Y'all ready? Father, we thank you for that love. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for the life that you've given each and every one of us, Lord. You say in your word that you are the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. Lord, let us know who we are. Let us be believers. Let us know who you are, Lord God, so that we can believe even more. Let us have understanding, Lord God, so we can hold more of who you are, the capacity to be filled. Lord, let us have the wisdom not to choose anything left to the right, but choose that straight, narrow path that you have laid so beautiful before us. Let us follow you to the ends and to the beginnings of the heavens, Lord. We thank you when they speak life over each and every one that's here, Lord God. I release any condemnation that's on them that they're holding. It's got to go right now in Jesus' name, that they will know who the true, true, true person that they are. Right now, the true identity, the identity crisis is over, Lord. Right here and right now, it's been released that they are a child of God, that they are loved, and they have a purpose. And they have everything lying in front of them. Tear down the rearview mirrors right now, Lord God. We're not one to look back. We go forward. Let that big windshield be brighter and clearer, Lord, as they go forward so they can see the way. Let it light up, Lord God, so they can see the things that make them stumble and they can kick it out the way and keep going. We praise you, Lord God, for all these things, and we bless your name, and we bless each and every one of them by the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We may go now.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.